Has Tugaharat Azam Maisa? Did you ever hear of such a thing? He asked me impishly in colloquial Yiddish. Lord Carrington has the chutzpah to tell me what I should be doing here in my own capital. I read it in a press report from London this morning. The British Foreign Secretary and the Israeli Prime Minister had by this time arrived at a no-exit stalemate of chronic dislike for one another. Welcome to Jerusalem 365, episode 279, The Prime Minister versus the Foreign Secretary. I'm Meir Soloveitchik. It is perhaps my favorite story in Yehuda Avner's memoir, wherein he describes how he stood before Queen Elizabeth in the 1980s as Menachem Begin's newly appointed ambassador to the court of St. James. The Queen, who had met so many ambassadors in her reign, found something unusual, unique, about the man she was meeting, a man born in England, a man suddenly representing the State of Israel before her. The Queen said, "I do believe this is the very first time I have ever received credentials from a foreign ambassador actually born in this country. How did you manage that?" To this, Yehuda Avner replied, "Your Majesty, though physically born in this country, I was spiritually given birth to in Jerusalem, from whence my ancestors were exiled by Roman legions 2,000 years ago." The Queen, in turn, replied, "Were they really? How unfortunate." And she started to speak about the weather. Ambassador Avner reflected, "Droplets of sweat trickled down my armpits. Here was I alluding to the mysteries of Jewish history's conundrums, and there was she talking about the weather." Ambassador Avner's story is striking because it portrays a royal representative of a millennium-old monarchy whose purpose is to embody history and yet who found the timeless nature of Jewish existence and Judaism's eternal bond to an ancient city overwhelmingly mysterious. And this is worth bearing in mind as we ponder the international explosion of anger as the Knesset approved its Jerusalem law. With the passage of the Jerusalem law, the United Nations condemned Israel's actions in the Security Council, with the Carter administration abstaining and thereby allowing the resolution to go forward. In the international arena, one of the foremost critics of Israel on the Jerusalem matter was the British Foreign Minister, Lord Carrington. While Prime Minister Thatcher certainly, and to my mind most regrettably, never became fond of Menachem Begin, there is no doubting her philo-Semitism. Lord Carrington, Thatcher's foreign secretary, was seen throughout Israel as someone not too fond of the Jewish state and too fond of Israel's enemies. Yehuda Avner further describes how when Begin first met with Thatcher and Carrington, and the latter rudely interrupted Begin, the prime minister told the foreign secretary to apologize. Ambassador Avner wrote, quote, "Peter," said Mrs. Thatcher softly, "I think an admission of regret is called for." The foreign secretary took off his spectacles, breathed on them, and polished each lens in return with a handkerchief from the top pocket of his Savile Row suit. He seemed to be about to speak, but hesitated, and then he made up his mind. "Quite right, Prime Minister," he said apologetically. "Somehow, your little country, Mr. Begin, evokes all sorts of high emotional fevers, stirs up the blood, so to speak." Begin, his composure regained, smiled at him, the smile not reaching his eyes. "The story of our people is very much a tale of having to defend ourselves against bouts of irrationality and hysteria," he said. "It happens in every generation." "Quite, quite," said Prime Minister Thatcher, seemingly mystified at this reflection. And then, desirous of steering into calmer waters, she said in a conciliatory tone, "Let's talk about our bilateral trade relations. I believe they are excellent." And for the next 10 minutes, all concurred that indeed they were, after which the talk began to peter out, and then it was time to go. Ambassador Avner further reflects, "This conversation remained etched in my mind when, a few years later, still during the Thatcher years, I served as Israel's ambassador in London, and often encountered passionate expressions of disapproval of Israel's policies, from journalists mainly, couched in a language that seemed to me to be more offensive than necessary. When that happened, Lord Carrington's words would invariably come to my mind. Somehow, your little country evokes all sorts of high emotional fevers, stirs up the blood, so to speak." End quote. This bias against Israel, as Yehuda Avner further tells us, was one that he would encounter, among others, in British society as he served as ambassador. This meeting was not the last time that Lord Carrington got on Begin's nerves. The Christian Science Monitor, in an article in 1980, described Carrington's comments when, in response to the criticism of the Jerusalem law, Prime Minister Begin announced that he would like to move his office to East Jerusalem in order to reflect Jewish sovereignty over the United City. The Christian Science Monitor reported, quote, "Lord Carrington, echoing the condemnation of the plan by a number of countries, including the United States, replied that it would be, quote-unquote, a great mistake if your prime minister moves there. I think it will make things more difficult for your friends," he added, "and very much easier for your enemies." His remark, the article continues, "which government officials here insist is in line with British foreign policy through the years, sparked a tart retort from Mr. Begin. In his first public statement since entering a hospital 2 weeks ago, Mr. Begin pointed out that it was not Lord Carrington's business, quote, to advise the Prime Minister of Israel where his office should be in Jerusalem, the capital of Israel, end quote. So the article tells us. These comments by Lord Carrington took place, as the article notes, at a time when Begin was convalescing in the hospital, a moment that, as we saw yesterday, was at the heart of a letter that he wrote to Sadat. Yehuda Avner recalls his own interaction with Begin while he was there. Quote, summoned to his bedside, I found him propped up reading cables. His pajama-clad shoulders were bowed and his cheeks sallow, but his eyes were as sharp as ever. Hastu geheret azah maisa? Did you ever hear of such a thing? He asked me impishly in colloquial Yiddish. Lord Carrington has the chutzpah to tell me what I should be doing here in my own capital. I read it in a press report from London this morning. The British Foreign Secretary and the Israeli Prime Minister had, by this time, arrived at a no-exit stalemate of chronic dislike for one another. I shall write him a letter, said Begin, and on the spot he began dictating to me a furious reprimand, essentially telling Lord Carrington to mind his own business, and repeating much the same thing as he had said to one of the journalists outside number 10 when he had called on Mrs. Thatcher. Open your Bible, Lord Carrington, he dictated, and read the first book of Kings, chapter 2, verse 11, where you will find that King David moved his capital from Hebron, where he had reigned for 7 years, to Jerusalem, where he ruled for another 33 years, and this at a time when the civilized world had never heard of London. So Ambassador Avner tells us, and this is also a striking story because it highlights how Begin was, while in the hospital, reacting emotionally, but in very different ways, to Sadat's letter and to Lord Carrington's criticism. And the story is also striking in another way, because it parallels other stories in the history of Anglo-Jewry and connects as well to the lesson of the story of the Israeli ambassador's encounter with the Queen. The Jewish link to Jerusalem goes hand in hand with the mystery of Jewish eternity. By continuing to lay claim to this bond throughout the ages, Jews reminded the world that, as Chaim Weizmann said to Arthur Balfour, we had Jerusalem when London was a marsh. Or, as Disraeli, pithily but far less politely, put it to an anti-Semitic parliamentary opponent, quote, while the ancestors of the Right Honorable Gentleman were brutal savages in an unknown island, mine were priests in the Temple of Solomon, end quote. There's this mystery of Jewish endurance, as I argued recently in the Wall Street Journal, that Jerusalem represents. And we have encountered this as our podcast has continued. We have seen how to study Jerusalem is to study the history of the world, from Egyptian pharaohs to Mesopotamian kings, to Greek and Roman emperors, to kaisers and sultans. We have seen how those interacting with the Jews of the city included Alexander the Great, Julius Caesar, Cleopatra, Suleiman the Magnificent, and William Seward. We have seen how others sought to eradicate the Jewish presence from Jerusalem, under the Emperor Hadrian, under the Byzantines, under the Crusader Kingdom, and under the reign of Jordan until the Six-Day War. And we have also seen how still, miraculously, Jerusalem became a Jewish city restored, even as other ancient capitals of the biblical past, Babel, P. Ramesses, Nineveh, were long since reduced to ruins. That is why Jerusalem, as Norman Podhoretz puts it, reflects what he called the scandal of Jewish particularity, with the uniqueness of this one city testifying to the enduring nature of one people on earth. The Jewish link to Jerusalem and the mystery and miracle that it embodies is one that Begin existentially understood, and he also understood that it was this striking wonder that many could not stand, that this fueled their antagonism toward Jewish sovereignty over the city. And he also understood that it was the Jewish bond to Jerusalem that he would continue to defend stoutly and resolutely. It's therefore no coincidence that the government offices that were created in East Jerusalem are today named Kiryat Menachem Begin. We know that during Lord Carrington's tenure as foreign minister, he pushed for what was truly anathema to Begin, a formal international recognition of the PLO. We know as well, from British government minutes now revealed and discussed in an article in the London Jewish Chronicle, that Thatcher responded to Carrington's memo on this matter and related subjects that I am deeply opposed to the course of action set out in Lord Carrington's minute. Meanwhile, as 1981 dawned and another Israeli election loomed, and with the economy in Israel suffering, Menachem Begin's political nemesis clearly became excited by the notion that the Mahapach, the political upheaval of 1977, would be undone. Thus, the BBC reported, quote, British Foreign Secretary Lord Carrington said Tuesday, the Palestinian Liberation Organization, despite terrorist elements, is not a terrorist organization and must be included in efforts to resolve the Middle East issue. A change of leadership in Israel's government after the June elections could remove Israeli opposition to including PLO leader Yasser Arafat in Middle East negotiations, Carrington said in an interview with the BBC, end quote. So the BBC tells us. In retrospect, the very fragility of political fortunes allows us to reflect on what happened next. Lord Carrington felt forced to retire as foreign secretary following the Argentinian taking of the Falklands. And Begin, as we will see, did indeed win the 1981 election, and his relationship with Jerusalem was not yet over. This is Meir Soloveitchik, looking forward to learning together tomorrow, signing off.